Welcome to Let's Talk. You're here with the host, Dr. Hassan Batts. I'm excited to have you. But what has me even more excited is we're in the studio with Sharaya Knight. Wow. This young lady is a powerhouse. So, Sharaya, you're someone who believes in financial literacy. You're an insurance agent, and you promote and believe in businesses within your community, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm definitely very, very honored to be here.
We want to jump right into this one. Like, business is important, right? It makes the world go round.
It does.
To a certain degree. So we want to talk about, before we get into the business aspect, you and your journey. Who is Sharaya?
Who is Sharaya? That's such a loaded question. Mm-hmm. It's a loaded question because I've had a journey these past couple of years, and I'm only 28 years old, but my journey has been long so far.
Wow. So like an old soul kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people who meet me say that I have a very old soul, mm-hmm. Which I, you know, accept very much, because I feel as though, from what I've learned so far, I want to give more knowledge, but I also want to receive it as well. So whoever has knowledge to give, I want to receive it, and nice. I want to give back to the community.
So you're a student and a teacher?
Absolutely.
And where's that come from?
Well, I believe, you know, I had a brain injury in high school, mm-hmm. a pretty bad one. And mm-hmm. through that experience, it taught me to have some resilience in it. Mm. I had to do a lot more than my peers to get ahead, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. from being taken out of high school for a whole entire year to then having to do part-time high school, homeschooling, and to do physical, occupational wow. speech therapy right. to get back to normal, right. you know, I had to learn something a little different during wow. that experience. So it taught me a lot. You know, when a lot of people said, nope, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to drive. You're not going to be able to go to college. I said, watch me.
That's right.
So I think resilience was built into me. But I watched my dad. He's a super hard worker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's mm-hmm. all he does is work. So I feel
shout
like
out to the dads in the world.
Yes, yeah. My dad.
Especially the hard working one. What's your dad's name?
Deshaun Knight.
Say something to him. What do you want your dad to know?
My dad has definitely inspired me to be a very hardworking person, like to even do it even when you're tired.
That's right.
And that's very much him.
That's right.
And my mom is very much like, she is so good at just keeping it together when things are rough. You
know
what I mean?
Shout out to the mother.
Right, exactly.
What's your mother's name?
Elsie Knight.
Shout out to Elsie Knight.
Yeah, so my parents have taught me a lot growing up, and they've given me the resilience that I have now.
You keep using that word resilience.
Yes.
Like, it's as though you stand on that. Like, that is your grit, that is your foundation,
yes.
and you know you can do it.
Absolutely.
So resilience is important to you. Family's clearly important to you. From knowing you and talking to you, getting to know you, community is important to you. But there's something else that's important to you that oftentimes people think contradicts. Money is important to you.
Mm, yes.
So you can have family.
Yes.
You can have community.
Yes.
And you can have money.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
I feel like when it comes down to money, it's such a taboo thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people are like, well, money isn't everything.
That's right.
And I tell people, listen, I know money isn't everything. Because,
right.
you know, you could get all the money in the world and have no family, have no friends, and you still feel empty.
That's right.
You know, you
That's
need right. God, of course, in that. But if you have no money, then how can you take care of your family? How can you be able to have a roof over your head?
That's right.
Clothes on your back, food in your belly, mm-hmm. you know, you need money as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very big advocate on financial education, understanding your money.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my biggest journey these past few years, is just understanding my money. Unfortunately, with our community, our specific community, we were not taught
That's
financial
right.
literacy.
That's right.
We were not taught about taxes and your checking and savings account and the interest rates in banks. We weren't taught those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you almost have to get self-taught or go find a mentor or go find someone who's willing to teach it.
Mm-hmm. And where'd you learn this? Like, where'd you learn the hunger for financial literacy?
Well, it's funny because it just came to me. It was almost like a light bulb moment in college.
Mm-hmm.
I went to East Stroudsburg University, my alumni.
Okay.
Whoop, whoop.
My wife went to East Stroudsburg.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah,
oh, man,
yeah.
I got to still meet your wife.
Yeah.
In my personal finance class, because I was already going through entrepreneur stuff
mm-hmm.
In college, I was aspiring to be a nurse practitioner in the ER. That
okay.
was my goal.
Okay, big difference in your direction.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God always has a different plan. He's like,
mm-hmm.
you wrote it out, but guess what? That's funny. You
I'm
know what
I'm
I mean? Going
to call it audible.
Exactly. But I had a personal finance professor, and, ah, man, he opened my eyes. You know, I already had the grit. I always had the hunger. I remember as a kid, I was hustling. I was over here. My mom was helping me sell limbes, you know, the little Spanish ices. And all the kids would run to our house and they would pay them a quarter to me.
That's right.
And instead of me playing outside, I would make my money first and then I'll play outside.
So your mother wasn't selling them. Your mother wasn't making them. You were making them.
Me and my mom was making them.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So we would make all different types. She'll come up with random flavors. We'll be in there mixing them, freezing them. And selling them. We had doors knocking, quarters coming in.
So you're a hustler.
Yeah, ever since I was little, I was a hustler. So that pushed me. I'm originally from Jersey.
What part?
I'm Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, Brick City.
Yeah. Okay. Newark, New Jersey.
Selling
all my family's
bays
out there.
In Brick City.
Well, no, I was selling lean bays out here because we moved from Jersey.
Okay.
And I was kind of like the new kid, you know, out here in PA.
That's right.
And I wanted to make money, you know, and ended up getting outside afterwards.
So you want to make money. Let's talk about what is money. We talking, you want to be a millionaire, a billionaire, like just want to be comfortable. Like what is the goal when you talk about money?
My goal is to be a millionaire.
Okay.
I'm really big on multiple streams of income, which is what I'm currently working on now.
Okay. And so, this is what you teach, multiple streams of income.
Multiple streams of income, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm just really big on not just focusing on just one stream, but you need multiples. If one fails, then your other one should be able to pay up, you know. So for me, I'm focusing on multiple streams, but have learned the hard way. With my entrepreneurial mind, I wanted to put myself in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once my personal finance professor opened me up to the arrays of money that's out there that you can have, I was like, oh my God, I don't have to be limited.
Yeah.
And that just opened up my mind and I just started to get into everything. So my hand was just in every pot and I was like, Sharia, you got to stop, girl. You got to focus on one.
Okay.
And you have to put your energy
in
one to make
it
successful. Right now, well, I guess you could say my two.
Okay.
But I'm doing my vending machine business with my dad. Shout out to Pops.
Beautiful.
And I also am focusing on my life insurance journey.
Okay.
So I took some time off and now I'm back at it and I'm coming from a different business strategy and I'm excited to grow that and get marketing out there and pretty much learning all the marketing strategies that they have. So those are my two babies
now. So I want to talk about this. We still want to talk about business, but I want to talk about this idea of life insurance, right? Because you look at life insurance as a financial vehicle. You talk about everyone should have some kind of life insurance.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't talk about that in our community. What is life insurance? Why do we need it? Like, educate us.
So with life insurance, first and foremost, it is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the stats, you know, I was just looking them up just recently for 2025, and it ranges for different ethnic groups.
Okay.
So
you're saying?
So who has it? So I was looking it up. Here it goes. So 49% of Black Americans say they need more life insurance or they need life insurance in general.
And say that stat again?
49% of Black Americans say
either don't have it or don't have enough.
Or they don't have enough.
And this is by our own definition. This is even someone else telling us this.
No, this is like actual stats.
Yeah.
Roughly 40% of Americans will leave behind a financial burden to a loved one, which is huge.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unfortunately, I tell people, it's expensive to die, too. It's expensive to live, but it's also expensive to die.
Wow.
And I express this so much because, you know, none of us have a planned day that we know we're going to die.
That's right. That's
God
right.
knows it, but we don't.
That's right.
So we must walk this life with care. Every single day, you walk out your house and go into your car.
Anything can happen. Don't scare
Anything
me
can
now.
Happen.
Don't scare me.
I know.
Let's stop there. I understand what you're saying. But I have to be prepared.
You have to be prepared because, you know, you have car insurance.
Yeah.
You have health insurance.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully
I pray
the both of those.
Do.
It's
yes.
people in our community that don't have car insurance.
Yeah, they don't. They're walking. Yeah. They're driving outside every day just loose. They're
so
crazy.
You're saying just like if you're driving, you should have car insurance. If you're living, you should have life insurance.
Absolutely. Mm. You walk through this life and you drive in a car.
Mm.
Same are very, very important. You have a higher chance of getting into a car accident than an actual plane crash.
Yeah,
even though with all the
stats,
even though the planes are such a big deal right now, but you know, your chances of getting into a car accident are way higher than getting onto a plane. And walking across the street, random gunshots, especially in our communities, Allentown.
You're in a scary business, man.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. We have people young, old.
But I think that's to the point, right? Life insurance is morbid.
It is.
No one wants to talk about it. The only time I've had life insurance when I was younger was maybe a job or something provides it, right?
Right.
But I remember I got a motorcycle, and my mother and my wife at the time made an agreement, or I don't know if it was agreement or a demand, that I had to get life insurance.
Absolutely.
If you're going to ride, my mother's a nurse. Shout out to Mama Bats.
Right.
She was a nurse. She said, if you're going to ride that motorcycle with three children, you've got to get $500,000 in life insurance.
Absolutely. And that was probably the smartest advice she could have given you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of to your point. But why don't we think about it or talk about it? It took the women in my life when I was doing something they perceived as dangerous to talk about it.
Right.
Why doesn't the general public or the general black community talk about life insurance?
Well, there's a few reasons. One, people believe that it's way too expensive, and that is not true, depending on the type of life insurance that you do get. Mm-hmm. So there's term insurance, whole life insurance, universal, index.
All it's expensive now ranges. That I'm 50, but when I was 23, it wasn't expensive.
And you know what? You said a big key right there. In your 20s, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage any 20-year-old that's out there to get life insurance now. You could lock in a rate right now and be paying that same rate at the age of 50.
That's right. That's right.
Which nobody knows.
That's right.
And unfortunately, it's advertised this way to the elderly. So everyone believes when you turn elderly, you must get life insurance. So nobody's thinking
of it. Are you calling me elderly?
No!
Damn, I said 50.
No. I'm talking about when you get onto the TV, they're like, Medicare. You know what I mean? They're talking about
that. But you know, you want to talk stats, right? Like, we're joking about me being 50. There's a book called The Death Gap.
Mm.
And Dr. Ansel, I think, is his name. He says a black male born on the west side of Chicago, I believe it is, has a 50% chance of making it to 50 years old.
Wow.
50 or 65 or something like that.
Wow.
Has a 50% chance. This is to your point, right? And what he says is, and we're not talking about gun violence.
We're not talking about gun violence.
So we're just talking about the major killers that me being 50, I may be elderly in my, not elderly, but an elder in my community. How many 50-year-old black men do you meet? So we should be preparing for death, as morbid as that sounds, right?
Mm, yeah.
We should be prepared. Not preparing. Prepared, is that better?
Prepared, yeah. Prepared. Because preparing seems like it's coming so soon, but prepared is just in case. When I got my car insurance, I didn't expect to get into a car accident tomorrow.
That's a great point.
But, of course, when I do get into a car accident, the first thing I say is, thank God, I have car insurance.
How many car accidents have you been in?
I've been into about three.
Okay. It sounded like there were multiple.
No, three.
But the first thing you said was you knew you'd be okay.
Yes.
So if and when I pass, I won't say it. But although my family will be in pain,
they will say, thank God.
He cared about us in a way.
He cared, yeah. Because one of the main things that life insurance will cover is not just the death of the person. It doesn't just take care of funeral expenses, it also takes care of that person's debts. Just imagine, you know, a newly, you know, married couple. I had a married couple, actually. It was a wife that just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, he was in his late 30s. And I was like, you got to get your life insurance, man. You guys just had a baby. You guys just bought a home. And, you know, it was like, I'm not expecting to die anytime soon.
Yeah.
He was 38 years old. And I was calling him again, like, hey, we got to get your life straight. Yeah, we're going to do it next week. And called him, and there was no replies. I haven't heard from him in a month. And I'm like, what happened to this man? I don't know. I kept going with my clients, and his wife calls me and was like, please tell me that he set up his life insurance with you. And I said, ma'am, he did not. And she was like, my husband died. And I said, what? I was so heartbroken. He was a 38-year-old man. I could not believe it. I was like, how? And she said they were doing grocery shopping, came home, brought groceries, and she went outside to the car to go get more groceries, was wondering where he was, came back in, and he was dead on the floor. He just died.
Wow.
And you just don't know. So, unfortunately, she doesn't know how she's going to pay the mortgage. She was pretty sure she wasn't sure how she was going to continue work because she had no money for daycare. She wasn't sure who was going to take care of the baby because they were a team, right?
Wow.
And they had debts they accumulated. So this man, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, God rest his soul, but he did not do his due diligence by his wife and his child. And I want people to understand that. You are doing a disjustice to your family if you do not get life insurance. It pays for your debts. It pays for your typical funeral expenses. Right now, especially with inflation, funerals are anywhere between $15,000 to $20,000 for one person.
We get calls almost every day to help people pay for funerals.
GoFundMe accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
GoFundMe is not life insurance.
I don't want my family to have to do a GoFundMe.
Absolutely not.
We're going to take a break. This is a serious conversation with a serious young lady that is saying, essentially, take care of your business so that your family can continue on in a comfortable way
Absolutely.
After you're gone. You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. We're here in the studio with Sharia Knight. When we get back, we're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about the future. We're going to have a more upbeat conversation, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back shortly.
All right.
Peace. This is Dr. Hassan Batts, host of Let's Talk on WDIY. We focus on those hard-hitting conversations that are necessary, that others shy away from, through interviews with local guests and unique perspectives on life in the Lehigh Valley. Contributions from listeners like you can help keep programs like this that leave you thinking on the air. Just call 610-758-8810 or go to WDIY.org and donate today. Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Hassan Batts. We're in the studio with Sharia Knight. We're talking about God. We're talking about family. We're talking about resilience and health. And we're talking about death. And we're talking about money, something you need all in between. There's a theme that keeps coming up with you that is around this issue of education, I guess is what I'll say.
Absolutely.
Like knowledge. Like, you know, you talked a lot about that, about going to school. But then I think also outside of school, you talked about this idea of seeking knowledge. Nowadays, everyone's an expert, right? My son had a cough the other day. All I have to do is go to WebMD or ask ChatGPT. Right. And ChatGPT tells me why my son is coughing.
Right.
So can I pick my stocks like that? Can I pick my life insurance like that?
No.
ChatGPT cannot pick my life insurance.
You know, Google, ChatGPT, all that is a nice resource for general information.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you go onto Google and you're like, why do I have a cough? The first thing is like, you have lung cancer.
That's right. That's right. And it terrifies me.
Terrifies
right?
you. And now you're like, oh, my gosh.
I had norovirus the other day, I believe, right? But that's not what the doctor said.
That's not what the doctor said. You have to actually go to a professional. You have to actually get the testing done.
That's right.
And you have to see what you as an individual needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the same way you need to treat your finances. What do you as an individual need?
So you need a human being to have a conversation with.
Yeah.
You know, this takes me back to, again, right, education in a general sense. Someone said that if I could get down to the size and the body fat percentage that I wanted to be at, I would already be there.
Mm.
So they said I needed to engage an expert.
Mm.
So I got a trainer.
Nice.
I got a nutritionist.
Yes.
You know, and they were really explaining, even with image, they said at some point in your career, you need to engage an image coach because you would be there already if you could have done it.
Absolutely.
And what I'm hearing you say is if I could have gotten my finances to the point that I want them at, I would already be there. So I need help. And part of that help is an expert in estate planning and life insurance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do they do? Or what do you guys do, right? Because that is who you are, a life insurance expert.
Yes. So with life insurance agents, what we can do is we can direct you in the
So
in
you're
the
called
right
a life
path.
Insurance agent, not expert, or guru, or any of that.
Both, if you want to use both. If you want to use both, absolutely. Okay. They're both okay to use.
That's right.
But professionally, life insurance agent, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say what we do is we help people and direct people on the right path to building their finances when it comes down to estate planning, life insurance planning, making sure that their future is set.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't just go off of your knowledge. You have to go by other people's knowledge.
Okay.
Somebody who's already went to school for it, learned about it, got the certifications for it.
So there's a process to become a life insurance agent.
Absolutely. There's a process. So you have to go ahead and take a pretty vigorous course.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pass state exams.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go ahead and get certified by the state to go ahead and become a licensed agent. Then if you'd like to go ahead and progress your career, then you could go ahead and get into your investments license, SIE Series 6 and 63, which is what I'm currently getting right now.
Okay, you're going to get rich.
Oh, that's the plan. Wealthy is the plan, really.
Oh, wealthy. Thank
wealthy,
you. Wealthy.
Wealthy
you're
is the plan.
You're correcting my language.
Yes, yes. Wealthy. But, I mean, the only way to do that is of course, education. Like, for me, I have the education to give, but I'm still looking for more.
That's right.
You know, I'm still looking for the next professional that has been doing this for 30 years.
That's right.
You know,
that's
what do you know? Tell me.
Yeah.
How can you help me? You know what I mean? That's so I can
beautiful.
Help somebody else.
So my wife and I come and we sit down with you. Walk us through the process. So, I mean, because I know a little bit about life insurance, right?
Right.
But many of our listeners don't. We have a full range of listeners. So I want you to talk to the person that's making $11 an hour,
mm-hmm.
who thinks life insurance is unachievable,
mm-hmm.
and then also to the person that, you know, well, I would imagine after a certain income threshold, people have life insurance. Is that a fair assumption?
You would think that.
Wow.
You would think that.
No?
There's a lot of people who have a large amount of income, and they have no life insurance in place. They're coming to me 60 years old talking about I had no life insurance. And I'm
really?
Like, wow. You have no life insurance.
And they have assets and they have assets.
They have income.
Wow.
They've had a full job. They're almost
so. So
near
let's
retirement.
Have the conversation. Yeah. We sit down with you. Go ahead.
So when you sit down with me, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So we're going to go through a financial analysis.
Okay.
I'm going to ask about your family basics.
Okay.
You know, do you have children, husband, wife, things of that nature?
Going to get all of my business.
All in the business.
Okay.
You know.
And is there a confidentiality relationship here?
Of course. Well, I have a fiduciary responsibility to protect my clients' information at all costs.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so go ahead. So you ask me these questions.
So I'm asking those questions, and then I'm going to get into the finances. So I want to know about all your debts. Mm-hmm. I want to know about everything that needs to be covered.
You're talking mortgage. You're talking vehicles.
Talking about mortgage, student loans.
Credit cards.
Car loans.
All of that. If I die, my family's responsible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do most people know that?
No. A lot of people don't know that.
Okay.
I've had people who a parent has passed away, and they have no idea later on that the credit report is now reporting with their parents'
So my children are responsible for my student loans.
Yes, absolutely. They're going to knock at somebody's door.
They want their money.
Yeah, they want their money. So if this person is now deceased, they're like, okay, who's next of kin?
Wow.
So they're going to the next of kin.
So when you say you're protecting your family, you're really helping people really protect their family.
Yeah, absolutely.
From not a fake boogeyman, from the real deal.
From the real deal. People are getting into serious debt from
someone
else's
debt. So we talk about all of our debt. We talk about combined, all of our wife and I's debt. Go ahead.
All debts. And then we're going to talk about some financial goals. So what are your goals? You know, I have some people who are like, listen, I need to pay for my kids' college.
Mm-hmm,
I need to make sure my kids can buy a home by this age.
Mm-hmm.
They have those goals.
What does that have to do with life insurance?
Well, life insurance could cover that.
I don't understand that. Say more.
So with life insurance, you know, you could go ahead and say, I want to cover my funeral. So let's say my funeral is $20,000.
That's what we typically think of.
Right. We only think about that. And that's
I'm
more
Muslim.
A final expense.
My funeral is not going to be $20,000. We wrap ourselves in a shroud.
Right. I know about that. You guys wrap in a shroud and keep it simple.
Yeah.
You guys don't do the whole, you know, shebang.
But they do, funerals do cost like $15,000, like on average, it
absolutely.
Seems like, right?
$15,000 to
$20,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, people think about that, but then you have to think about, okay, well, what else? You know, do you have a mortgage? Factor that into the cost of the life insurance. So not only am I getting a $20,000 policy, now the cost of the home, let's say you have a home for $150,000. Now we need a policy that's $170,000.
Okay.
Now we have to think about, okay, well, I'd like for my kids to be able to go to school. Well, how much money do we have to allocate for that goal? If you want to, right these days.
Yeah.
Right. And now we have generational wealth. What if you want to go ahead and leave behind generational wealth? What does that look like?
That's right.
So you have to factor that into the policy. So your death benefit is what's going to be the amount that you need as an individual. Everyone has a specific policy for them that's tailored for them. Right.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yes.
Yeah, and we oftentimes don't even think about the questions that you're asking.
Right, absolutely.
Like I don't even know how much money my family would need. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, again, right at my age, I don't know how realistic it is to have that policy. So. I have a 2-year-old.
You have a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Really? Well, then you're definitely going to need some life insurance for your 2-year-old.
And I have 4 grandchildren.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely going to need some.
I mean, I have some, but it may not be enough.
Well, what I tell people is, especially if they have young children, you want to pretend, and I hate to say this, and it's always a morbid conversation, but it's real. But God forbid you passed away, and this 2-year-old still has a full life ahead of them.
That's right.
This 2-year-old still needs clothing, food, and shelter.
That's right.
And somebody else is going to have to take care of your 2-year-old.
Yeah.
That person should not receive that burden, unfortunately. So they need to be able to say, okay, well, this is another mouth to feed.
That's right.
This is another person that I'm going to have to go ahead and clothe. And I have to send this person to school. I have to make sure they're taken care of. Your life insurance can actually pay out that person to take care of your child for the next 18 years.
So that's how we need to be thinking.
Absolutely. You have to think ahead of the game.
It's morbid, but it's educational.
It is.
Anything else you want to say about life insurance before we move on?
Get it. Get it.
It's that simple.
No matter
right?
how young you are,
it's
get it.
Simple.
You're not too young. You're not too old. Get some type of life insurance because you're going to regret it. And it won't even be you. It'll be your family that will be affected. If you love your family, get you some life insurance, please.
This is scary, man.
It is scary. It's
all right.
Real.
So let's talk about Sharia.
Okay.
You talked about what you do.
Yes.
What do you want the world to know about you?
I would say I'm here to make a difference. I want to make an impact. So for me, I didn't know that would be my calling, but I've always felt pulled to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my mission and goal. I'm so excited to start with Promise Neighborhood because that fulfills that goal even more. I'll be able to do more community outreach. I'll be able to serve the community more. So not just with education, but where else can I help? So I'm excited to be able to do that.
Tell me about your dream, right? Your long-term dream of what help and serving looks like. What is the world you want to create? Is that a fair question?
That's a fair question. Okay. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to make sure that I left behind generational wealth to my family. Mm-hmm. That was first and foremost in my thoughts.
Do you have life insurance?
I do have life insurance.
Okay, make sure you have life insurance.
Absolutely, I have life insurance. And I just want to put it out there. I have no children. I'm not married. And I do have life insurance. I have a spouse.
So this is for your
parents?
So this is for your spouse?
We're not married, but I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm still not married, and I still have no kids, and I still have life insurance.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And people believe that they should have, you know, children or a spouse in order to get it.
That's a good point.
You know, so no matter who you are, you should get it. Okay. But a fair question.
So you want a world where everyone has life insurance?
Of course. If I could just be like, here, you get life insurance. You get life insurance.
All right.
I would.
Keep going.
So besides that, but generational wealth is something that's big for me. So I'd like to make sure that I can be able to change my family's name. So for me, my parents did the best that they could growing up. Mm-hmm. They make sure we had food and clothes
That's
on our
right.
back and shelter.
Right. And taught you hard work.
And they taught me hard
That's
work.
Right.
But I also watched struggle. Mm. And I watched it growing up, and I don't want my children to go through any
That's
struggle.
Right. That's right.
I would like for them to have a different outlook on life. I want them to have opportunities
right.
When it comes down to be able to changing their legacy.
Right.
So generational wealth is really big for me. Mm-hmm. It's something that I'm very passionate about,
mm-hmm.
and it's the reason why I work so hard on wanting to get into business, wanting to go ahead and do life insurance and change the community.
Mm-hmm.
How can we put ourselves there? But another thing that I'd like to do, and this is one of my hugest goals, is open up a homeless shelter.
Okay.
But not a regular homeless shelter.
Okay.
This is going to be different. This homeless shelter.
There's no doubt I'm on my anything you do is going to be different. Every person in your shelter is going to have life insurance.
Right. You get it. You get it. But I'm really big on wanting this homeless shelter to impact and make a big change. So I wanted to have an abundance of resources. You know, I want people to come into this homeless shelter and know that they will be cared for when it comes down to where can they go for health coverage? Where can they go to get a new job? Where can they go to have a new place to go? Do we have the resources to give you a leg up in the world?
Why homelessness? And I don't ask that why question with judgment for clarity, because there's domestic violence shelters,
right.
There's foster care,
yeah.
There's the environment.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many issues in the world.
Right.
Help me understand the reason you chose that issue.
To be honest, I'm not sure where my heart started to tug for
mm-hmm.
the homeless, but for some reason, there is a spark in me to want to help people
mm-hmm.
who are homeless.
I
think about when I lay in my bed, I'm warm, I'm cozy,
that's right.
You know, and I'm thinking about the person outside that's freezing
right.
cold, and they
right.
have nowhere to go.
That's right.
And I guess that's just my compassion. In a perfect world, I would want people to have just a comfortable place. What a privilege, you know.
So I'm not being facetious, I'm being serious. So a home and life insurance, those are two things that you think everybody, it should be a basic human right.
Absolutely.
Somewhere comfortable to live.
Okay. Food every day.
Food.
And of course, life insurance is big because it doesn't impact that person, it impacts the whole family.
Yeah, because the next generation can
yes.
not have a home and not have food because
yeah.
Okay, so we're getting ready to close out. What are you reading?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right now I'm reading The 10 Pillars of Wealth.
Okay, what are you watching?
A couple of podcasts right now.
About wealth.
EYL mm-hmm. is big right now. Shout out to them.
Shout out to Earn Your Leisure.
Eric Thomas is big.
Of course.
I've been listening to his podcast pretty heavy, much more than usual. I started off with him, but I'm definitely into him.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kiyosaki's podcast, I'm dipping into it here and
okay.
there.
Okay.
And my new favorite, Ashley Fox.
I'm not familiar with Ashley Fox.
Ashley Fox, she's an investment guru. She worked on Wall Street.
Okay.
And her education has been impeccable.
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 Okay.
She has taught so much about okay. investments and real estate investments and different ways that you can get into the market,
mm-hmm.
Obtainable ways to get into the market. So I've been dipping and diving into
what
her
are you
information.
Watching?
I don't really watch TV like that.
I don't.
It's podcasts and books for me.
Okay. What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal. Oh man, right now crab legs, man. I'm obsessed mess with crab legs and some garlic butter.
We're going to end on that, though. Sharia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It has been a pleasure to have you. I mean, you are a ray of sunshine. You are bringing education to us. I'm looking forward to seeing you grow. The earth shakes when you walk in a room.
Thank you so much.
You said you're 28 years old, man. The future is bright.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
The one thing I will add, one correction to what you said, because this was a beautiful conversation. You talked about all that you were listening to. You forgot the podcast, Let's Talk.
Let's Talk, yes.
With Dr. Hassan Betts on WDIY.
Yes, sir.
NPR, everywhere podcasts can be fine. Apple, what else?
Tune in.
So you're listening to Let's Talk. Have a great day. Peace.